Hey guys, this is Terry Latham. Say I was calling to you from Austin, Texas, but I'm actually out in Gates City, Virginia, with Tom Beasley. We're having a great time out here doing a lot of the SEAL work. This is our Monday motivational call. We've got a great speaker here tonight. Her name is Pepper Black. She comes to us from Nashville, Tennessee. She's a great person, a great leader when it comes to this business. One of the people that There's not many people that measure up to her energy, and she's one of the only people I've ever seen sit down with somebody that was cold, meet them, and in 15 minutes had them in the computer ready to do a SEAL. She's pretty, really powerful stuff. Not only that, she's a great mother, also a great wife to her husband, Jamie, but she just does a lot of good things for SEAL. So I asked Pepper to come on to the call tonight and share a little bit of her background. Pepper, are you with us?
I am.
Awesome, Pepper. Do me a favor as we get started tonight before you start getting into the questions about what you've been able to do in ASEA. Share with everybody what your background and before you decide to be a part of this great company.
Okay. So I was thinking when you asked me to be on this call tonight that I would kind of share a little bit of some stuff that maybe most people haven't heard so that I can add, because a lot of people have already heard my story. When I was little, Terry, there were two things that I really wanted. First thing is I wanted to be a Supreme Court justice. That was the first thing. And the second thing is I wanted to be a mom. I always wanted children. But when I was 15 years old, I was told that I was never going to have kids. And it hurt me, but it didn't really hurt me. I didn't realize how much that knowledge was going to hurt me until later. So I was always babysitting someone's kids. I was really mature for my age, and I remember one year when I was 11, I actually was the summertime babysitter for my neighbors who had a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old. So I worked from 6 o'clock in the morning until 6 at night at 11 years old. I made the kids 3 meals a day, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and I made sure that they were bathed and ready for bed when their parents got home. And I keep thinking, man, I wish I could find myself now for my help at this house. When I was in college, I worked at the local mission, and I was in charge of a family of 7 children. They were ages 2 to 12, and it was the cutest little family. I loved them, but their mom and dad were both in prison, and their 70-year-old grandmother was in charge of them. So the mission provided a van for me to use. And I would drive these kids, and we would go clothes shopping or to the park, or I'd take them to the doctor. Whatever they needed, I had them all day long. And I loved those kids. So at that point, I decided I wanted a family of 7 kids. Also during college, I helped my friend Samantha with her 4 children when she had a newborn baby girl up to her 7-year-old. We had a blast with those kids. And then I moved in with my pastor's wife a couple months later to help her with her 3 kids after he left her. So she was pretty devastated and wasn't much use to anybody for a few months. So I was lucky enough to be the step-in mother for these kids, kind of like a surrogate mom. And it was during this time that I met my oldest daughter, Sage. So she was 11 and dating Mikey Joe, one of the little boys that I lived with. And I stepped in to keep it real with her and Mikey and gave her little counsel, you know, the older woman teaching the younger kind of thing. And I absolutely fell in love with this little girl. She was so amazing. She and her 3 sisters were living with the foster family, and she stole my heart. So by the age of 12, and as soon as I was able to, I started spending once a week with her, and then it turned into weekends, and then summers. And by the time it was all said and done, she was legally mine. So I figured if I couldn't have kids, that I would adopt them. And she was the first, but it was a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. And I didn't really consider adopting any more kids until at 22 years old, she announced that she didn't want any kids. And I was devastated. I thought God was playing like this terrible trick on me that my daughter wasn't going to have kids because, after all, I was supposed to be, you know, this. I was supposed to have babies vicariously through her and be this amazing grandmother. And not only that, a few years prior to that, I wasn't able to start law school for other reasons. So I wasn't going to be the Supreme Court justice, and I wasn't going to be a mother of little babies either. So it was crazy. Anyway, I started praying and asking God to please give me babies. And by this time in my life, Sage was finishing college, and I had a very successful estate planning business. So at one time, I had 3 offices, one in Nashville, one in Lebanon, and one in Knoxville. I was working 15-hour days, often 6 and 7 days a week. So when I found out I was pregnant with Cayenne and then again Ginger 18 months later, I didn't want to work as an estate planner anymore. God answered my prayer, obviously, that and I ended up with babies. So that's another story. I'll save it for later. But suffice to say, I was able to be a mom, which is what I always wanted to be. So when Ginger was little, I was working. It was too hard emotionally with my clients when they died, and I really didn't feel like I give my clients my all when my heart was at home with my girls. So I gave in to my friend Gina's request and began my debut career as a professional in the industry of network marketing, closed up shop as an estate planner, and started in with the company that you and I met at. So I actually had a previous run with another network marketing company that didn't make it. I was pretty successful for a novice in that company, but they didn't make it a year. I enjoyed it, but when I went through my divorce with the girl, with the girl's dad, he pretty much annihilated my business. So as a result of all the stress that that divorce caused, I developed a severe autoimmune that attacked my heart, which resulted in me spending 12 to 17-hour days in bed with a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old to take care of as a single mom. So I was okay for the first 2 years, but towards the end of 2012, I was running out of money, and I didn't know what I was going to do because I couldn't work either. So I'm out of money and I can't work and I'm sick. So when you called me and sent me a SIA, I had no idea that I was actually going to get better. So I was actually feeling kind of guilty because I didn't know. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm starting this business and I really don't have any energy to do this. But anyway, the doctor told me that I would never get better, only worse. So after 7 months on a SIA and me sleeping 6 hours a night instead of my 12 to 17 and going off of all my medication, it was pretty amazing for me, and I began to tell everybody. So I knew that God had answered my prayers, and I was able to homeschool my girls and make enough money to take care of them the way that they had grown accustomed to be taken care of. And as you know, we began to share ASEA with everyone that we knew, and we began to build an ASEA business, the girls and I. And I say we because literally Cayenne and Ginger were drug all over this beautiful nation of ours. We flew to California together to share ASEA. We flew to Washington State to share ASEA. We went to Washington, D.C. We went to Florida. We went to Alabama. I mean, I literally took these kids everywhere to share ASEA and loved it. So the cool thing is, Terry, I went gold in 18 months, and I was pretty pumped about that because I was in the very last group to go to the Trout Ranch for the ASEA Ascent. So that's been really fun. But I think as I was thinking about what I wanted to share tonight, my story, I think probably the really awesome thing that ASEA has been able to do for me is that I've been able to, at this level, receive the benefit of what passive residual income can mean to a family. Because last year, after Jamie and I got married, my ex-husband made things kind of hard for us. And I basically last year didn't work. So I attended all the ASEA events, and of course I supported my team on Zoom in three ways. But for the most part, I pretty much fell apart last year. And not working for a year, my paychecks didn't really go down. My group was still building. So my business progressed. And it didn't shoot me to diamond or anything because I wasn't active really. I wasn't, you know, out, you know, signing people up and promoting things. But I did maintain. And now that I've been able to get the first year of our marriage behind me and start to build again, momentum is clicking. And it's really, really cool. I love this. So that's kind of my story.
So we'll keep that between ourselves. I won't tell Jamie that you said, now that I got the first year of my marriage behind me.
Yeah, the best is yet to come.
Now, Pat, look, listen, you know, there's certain things that when you get focused on something, you're like a dog on a bone. You don't let it go. And there's really nobody I've ever seen truly in my tenure in this industry that can get in front of people and get them to make a decision pretty quick. Now, I don't want to get into specifics about markets or targeting or anything like that, but You're out there really spreading the word pretty quick about ASEA. First, why are you doing that? And second, how are you doing that?
Well, my why is because I want to I always thought that I would – I always, you know, made it my goal that I'd be a millionaire by the time I was 50. And when I started having the kids with estate planning, I knew that I was not going to be able to keep up the momentum, and I wasn't going to be able to continue to work as hard as I needed to work to be able to do that with little kids. So when I realized the money that you could make with network marketing, that if you just worked really hard for 3 to 5 years, you'd be at, you know, a really healthy six-figure income. And then beyond that, that it was possible for anybody, literally me specifically, to make $1 million, you know, in this industry. And so my why is because I want to be able to have a lifestyle that would afford me to be able to take my children all over the world and not teach them history from a book, but actually teach them from experiencing life, and also to be able to help my children attain their dreams and their goals. And I didn't want to have to penny pinch or sacrifice, you know, their childhood by not being able to let them do the things that really drive them. And as you know, my children all want to do amazing things. So that is my why. My why is my children. And how I'm doing it is, you know, really, basically, I just tell everybody that I know about ASEA, everybody that I meet about ASEA. So if I'm standing in the grocery store line and I see somebody that's, you know, walking with a cane, or they've got an oxygen mask on, or, you know, that little hose or whatever, or if they are, you know, talking about, you know, their, you know, a health problem, or I eavesdrop on a conversation, I chime in and I just introduce myself and just say, you know, hey, you know, I know you don't know me and this is kind of weird and you're probably going to think I'm one of those people, and I am, but I really think that you should look into this. And they'll say, what is it? And I used to kind of go into more detail, but now I, you know, keep in my purse my little brochure that Randall made for me, and I give them that brochure, and or I'll, you know, give them my, you know, my business card or whatever, and tell them, you know, to look at this video or whatever, and it makes it a little bit more simple. But I never, ever, ever, ever leave them without getting their cell phone number. And so I always say, hey, you know what I can do? It's just easier. Let me just go ahead and text message you, you know, my business card, and you can look at this video at your leisure. And they're like, oh, okay. So I've never had anyone – well, no, that's not true. The other day I did. So I had my first person not give me their cell phone number. They gave me their email address. It was at it was with you. Remember when we went to go see Jamie at his show? That lady from England didn't give me her cell phone number, but I don't even know what I would have done with it anyway. I don't think my phone, like, goes that way. But anyway, so I just sent it over the email. But I tell everybody that I know. And, I think another reason why I tell people about ASEA is I kind of feel like Gary Samuelson put it best. I feel like it's a stewardship. I feel like it's more than just, you know, it's more than just a product and a way to make money and everything else. I feel like I really feel like it's a stewardship that we've been given, and that we have the responsibility to tell people about this product, because the industry, of course, speaks for itself. It helps people, you know, for financial freedom, but the product really helps people with their physical freedom. I know for myself, I was very sick. So with given no hope, you're never going to get better. You're going to end up in a nursing home. That's what my doctor told me. I'm like, great. He goes, probably in 5 years. I'm like, that's even better news. So, you know, for me, it's like, I feel like I have a story that needs to be told. And I feel like ASEA gives enables the body to heal itself in a way that no other product is able to do. So, I mean, I feel like it's a stewardship that we need to tell.
So, Pat, talk about it a little bit, because you're really big on setting goals. I know when I come to your house, we work together and stuff. You have things written all over your house. Speak about the importance about writing down your goals.
Well, you know, I always quote the same verse with my team. I think they get sick and tired of hearing me. But without a vision, people perish. That was a verse in the Bible. And, you know, I think that if we don't know where we're going, and then we don't know how we're going to get there. And if you don't know how you're going to get there, then you're just kind of just not going anywhere. And I set goals for myself, and whether I attain those goals at that in that time period or not, I set the goal, and I set it pretty high so that I try to hit it, and then I readjust as time goes on. And I think that, you know, I set short-term goals and long-term goals so that, like, every day, you know, my goal is to, at the very minimum, talk to two new people and follow up with a couple people. And if I, you know, and normally I try to hit four. That's my four is normally what it is. But my minimum is two. My maximum is 10. But I usually hit about four. And just try to introduce the product to four different people. And I know that, you know, Trish was the one that said, you know, two a day brings freedom my way. And so I just kind of adopted that. I think that goals are important because, you know, again, a goal not written down is just kind of a wish. You know, you can say, you know, oh, I really want this, I really want that. But if you didn't write it down, number one, you probably won't remember what you even said. And number two, it's not real to me. And I think, I don't know if you're referring to the goals for the week that Kyan had put up on the wall. But I think, is important to write it down and let your kids see what you're working on. And I love the fact that my girls are also setting goals for themselves every week. You know, Ginger's goal, you know, for the last few weeks is to run from the top of the hill down to the house every day after school, which she does, as you know. So, you know, that's, you know, her goal, and Kyan's silly, but she's got different goals. But we, you know, we're a family that sets goals and tries to attain them, and I think it's important just so that you can be driven towards a certain end.
You know, you're talking about family, and of course, you have a young family, and there's going to be a lot of people listening in that have families and know people have families. Speak about, you know, what it's meant to your girls to see you working towards a dream and seeing how you're working towards something.
You know, Terry, I love my little girls, and I know you've seen me with them, and they are so encouraging and so inspiring and so motivating, and, you know, they keep me on task, and, you know, they see me, you know, doing three-way calls, and especially, you know, the last month that I've really started to, you know, we really need to get this going, you know, convention's coming up, and we've got new products coming out, and we need to get people set, you know, so that they're positioned to be able to share these products and be able to benefit from that. And, you know, the other day I sat down in front of the television and turned on one of my shows, and Kyan came from the top of the stairs, and she goes, Mom, have you followed up with anybody today? And I just looked at her and was like, go to bed. She's like, I'm serious, Mom. It's time. Have you followed up with anybody? Because you're not going to watch television until you do. And I just looked at her, and there was a part of me that wanted to just be like, I'm the mom and go to bed. But there was another part of me that I was like, you know what? She's right. So I put it on pause and went in my bedroom, and I made a couple phone calls. You know, sorry it's so late, but, you know, I realized I hadn't called you back, you know, that kind of thing. So I think it teaches the kids that they need to have stick-to-itiveness. And, you know, we had, you know, really thought that we would be further than we are right now. And when we sat down this spring and started talking about the beginning of the year, we sat down and talked about, you know, what our goals for the year were going to be. You know, Kyan's like, she goes, Mom, she goes, I know that you're still, you know, shooting for diamond. She's like, but, you know, realistically, I think we need to go to platinum first. And, you know, we need to go, you know, one thing at a time. And it's just so funny to me that, you know, she's like, you know, that's the goal. Diamond's the goal, but we need to hit platinum first. And that's going to be our goal for right now. That's the short-term goal, and this is the longer-term goal. So I think it's important for them to see the struggle and to see the tenacity and to see the not giving up, and also, you know, to see that sometimes, you know, you have to reassess things as life comes in and life happens, And I think that for my girls, they are learning not only, you know, how to stick with something and how to reassess, but also, you know, how to build your dreams. And they, you know, like their bikes, I bought with the money that I got from the bonus pool, from the gold bonus pool. And you know, they're there to see a bikes and they love them, you know, and they that's how they look at them. So I told them when I go diamond, I'm going to give them those hoverboards. You know, they really want the hoverboards. So when we go diamond, they get a hoverboard. I don't know. So it's a good thing.
I think it's fantastic. You know, I'm big on the goals and definitely getting the advantage. We've been here, you know, 3 years and having a good time. A lot of cool things coming at the convention. How are you encouraging your people to make sure they get to convention?
That they get to convention? You know, most of my team, you know, the leaders are definitely going. And I really, you know, especially the people here in Tennessee, I've just, you know, tried to, you know, really encourage them that big decisions happen at big events. And I think I really just, it really makes me sad that there are some companies in this industry that have made conventions such a shallow event, focusing on, you know, just focusing on money and loud music and pumping people up and, you know, rah, 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 that people don't have any idea the depth of character and conviction and honor and integrity and the blessing going to convention is for us, because I always walk away from convention challenged to become a better person, to be more, to do more, to act more, to, you know, that whole becoming. They put so much emphasis in training who we are at these conventions, and it's not just all about, you know, the hype. That it grieves me that some people have that attitude of, I don't need to go to convention. And I'm so glad that I haven't missed a convention since I've been in. And I've tried not to miss any of the major events that I qualify for, because I know that every single time that I am around this company and the leaders of this company, I know that I'm going to walk away a better person, and I'm going to be empowered to do not just great things with the SIA. I feel like I've become a better person, a greater person, a better asset to society, a better mom, a better sister, a better daughter, a better friend as a result of being involved with this company. You know, when Tyler talks about ethos and he talks about, you know, the pursuit of peace and, you know, and having that be our cornerstone, I'm just thinking, yeah, I want to be that kind of a person. I want to be a better person. I want to be the kind of person that attracts, you know, quality people in my life. You know, and I try to tell people that they need to really experience a convention before they make a decision not to go to one.
Right, you bet. And let me ask you this, because this is, I always try to get this, you know, and it's kind of funny.
I can't hear you, Terry.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to stand in this corner in Tom Beasley's house because he's out of sticks. He's looking at me. He might tackle me here pretty quick. Anyway, you know, and that's one thing. We have a lot of fun. But, you know, and every time I go to different places across the country, different parts of the world, and I sit in front of people, I want them to walk out for them to understand that this is real. Let me ask you something, Pepper. Where do you see this in the next couple of years? Where do you see SIA?
You know, Terry, it's so funny. I remember the first event that I went to in Washington State right after I had signed up and realized that I was going to do this in January. And I remember asking Virtus, you know, pulling him aside, and I said, Virtus, you know, I've got two young girls and my nephew at home that are counting on me to provide for them. And I really need to know, you know, where you think this company is going to go, because if I'm going to put my energy into this and build this, I need to know that it's going to be there for us. And I said, can you just, you know, I said, I know that you're trying to build it and you, what you're saying up there. I said, I don't know you very well. I said, but I really need you to be honest with me. You know, do you really see this thing like longevity? Is it going to be there? And, you know, you know how Vertus is. He's so sweet. You know, and he just looked at me and he just said, he goes, Pepper, billions. It's going to be billions. He goes, I promise you. He goes, there will come a time where ASEA associates will be order takers. And it won't be that you're trying to beg people to get into this business, but they're going to be calling you saying, hey, can you order me some ASEA? And I just looked at him. I said, are you serious? He's like, yes. I'm like, okay, that's all I needed to know. And, you know, for me, it's like, you know, coming in, we were already, gosh, 3 years old by the time we got in. You know, the company had already been going, you know, for 3 years. So, you know, we didn't have, we had a little bit of the science stuff, but not a lot, not anything like what they have right now. I'm thinking, boy, if we had this 3 years ago. But where I see this, I guess I kind of see it, you know, the way that Vertus does. It's like when I think about the fact that our facility, you know, it has the ability to, right now, we can produce $800 million worth of product, and then we can move into the next door, you know, and we can produce even more. You know, I know that Vertus is telling the truth in that, you know, this will be a billion-dollar company. This is going to be, this is going to be the best or one of the best, one of the top five ever network marketing companies in the world. But not only that, it's like we've got a product that nobody is able to duplicate thanks to James Pack's wisdom to keep three of the patents processes out of being patented. But it's going to be a miracle if somebody is able to even copycat us. We've got something that nobody has, everybody needs. And once people start to realize what it is, the more scientific evidence that comes out, and we all know that there's, you know, rooms could not contain the volumes of data that we'll never be able to see what this product does. But as people start to use ASEA and the word starts to get out, I mean, this is just going to be, this is so massive, Terry. It's like I'm trying to wrap my mind around it so I can articulate it better, and I'm fumbling over my words. But it's like, you know, when you sit down with people and you're like, this is massive. This is huge. This is bigger than anything you've ever seen. I feel like Dr. Ralph. I'm just like one of those, you know, those billboards with you know, with the cliches, you know, better than ever, never seen before, once in a lifetime. But it is. That's ASEA. It is, it's better than anything that you've ever been able to get involved in. It's like, and the thing that's so cool, Terry, this is the thing that's so awesome about the fact that ASEA went the route of network marketing. Here you have this product that absolutely nobody has and nobody can duplicate. Okay, it changes people at the cellular level. It enables your body at the cellular level to reduce oxidative stress in the body. Okay, you can take a person that's been told that they will always sleep 17 hours a day, they will never get better, and in 5 years they're going to be in a nursing home by the time that my age right now, 5 years, I would be in a nursing home according to my prognosis, okay? In bed, and there's nothing that they can do to help me. There's no cure. You can take someone like that and give them this, and their body can heal itself, okay? That is so amazing. So we have this amazing product that helps the body do that, but then they've decided to take it to market in an industry that you could take anybody with the belief in themselves and the ability to read and learn and grow and become the kind of person that can make the kind of money that they want. You can take someone off the street if they have a desire to better themselves, and they could end up in 5 or 7 years becoming, you know, a healthy six-figure and even a seven-figure income earner. I mean, oh, my God, that is so awesome. It's like, hello, people, this is what we have. And that is what makes it so cool. Awesome product. Awesome industry. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, massive energy to get toward there.
Oh, sorry.
No, that's good. That's awesome. Now, before I open up for questions and shelf the recording, there's going to be people listening that's been in for a little bit, and they might be having success. They might be in a point that
they're questioning themselves. There might be new people getting in, fired up. I mean, what would you like to, just a quick, maybe next minute, what would you like to share with those people who are just getting going in this?
You know, have fun. I think one of the things that you told me early on, and I'm just now starting to chill out and do what you told me to do, and that's enjoy the process. We all come into this business at a different place in our lives. You know, I was talking to a gal at Whitestone Inn this weekend at our event there, and she's an older gal, and she's so sweet, and she said, I've been in for 5 years, and I'm just a director 700, and I just looked at her, and I said, well, what's been going on the last 5 years? And she's like, oh, I've had, you know, my kids, you know, my daughter lived with me with her four kids, and then she moved out, and my son moved in with her four kids, and, you know, and their four kids, and they, blah, blah. And so she just, the last, like, I don't know, maybe 6 months, is the first time in 5 years that it's just been her and her husband. And she said, and I finally, you know, feel like I can grow my business. And I said, well, I said, there you just answered it. I said, you know, I said, you really haven't been in the business for 5 years. You've just been recently in the business, and that's why you're Director 700 now. You know, and I think that, and a lot of us come in with different skill sets. You know, you're going to get, you know, some people like Masami, you know, who is a total go-getter, and she has the ability to, you know, bring people in and talk to people and inspire them to do this and motivate them to do this. And she's, you know, and look what she's accomplished, you know, in 3 years. And then you're gonna, you know, get other people that, you know, that that don't have her ability to go out and talk to people, that are shy, and have to learn how to talk to people. Everybody comes in at a different place, and I think that if you will just accept where you are, and keep your eye on the prize, you know, where you want to go, and take those steps necessary to do it, you know, don't get discouraged. The only people that don't succeed in this business, Terry, are the people that quit. And that, it's like, you know, people can say whatever they want. They can go, I've been doing it for 5 years. And it's like, no, you haven't. You've not been doing it for 5 years. It's like you've been playing at it for 5 years. It's like, you know, I've been doing this, you know, for 6 months, and I only have one person, and they just got off autoship. You know, it's like, well, you know, then you need to learn some skills necessary to be able to bring more people in. And that's, I think, what discourages people the most, is that they don't have all the skills that they need to be, you know, where they want to be. And I think, you know, the biggest thing for all of us, the biggest challenge for us, is, you know, to acquire the skills necessary to be where we want to be and to become the person that we want to become. And Ed Wein said something this weekend that someone told him, and I felt like he was speaking directly to me. He said that at one time in his life, someone said to him, Ed, I see you as a man with talents at a level of 8. But you're operating at talents of a level 6, and you're hanging around people with talents at 4, and that's why you feel so good about yourself. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And it really challenged me that I on the way home, the kids fell asleep and in the car, and I was thinking to myself, I was thinking, you know, is that me? You know, what talents do I still have, I still not yet utilized in order to become who I want to become and to be able to encourage other people to get where they want to be. And I think that's the fun thing about the network marketing industry, that we get to use the skills that we have and hone those skills, and we also get to dig really deep inside ourselves and figure out those talents that are still yet not birthed. And we get to birth them, and we get to hone them, and they get to help us to help others to learn how to birth their talents. So awesome. Don't give up is what I would say.
Awesome. Thanks, Pat. This was a fantastic call. It's something I'm definitely going to get out to a lot of people. I'm trying to keep myself still where I won't pace because I know I'll lose a cell phone signal in Tom's house. But thanks so much, Pepper, for taking the time tonight. If you don't mind, I'll stop the recording, and we'll open up for questions. But, guys, get this out to your people as fast as you possibly can. This is a great message to get out to all your people. So hold on one quick sec.